We'll bring you the April 10th edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Best of Rain. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. This week, we'll look back to the turn of the century to the spring of 2000 to an interview conducted by Amateur Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, with Mike Dereau, KO6NM, considered the father of audio processing and recipient of the 2000 Technical Achievement Award from the National Association of Broadcasters. The interview was introduced by Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP.
The name Mike Dereau may not be familiar to many of you. Mike Dereau, KO6NM, is considered the father of discriminant audio processing. His DAP310 and audio loudness monitor are mainstays in the entertainment industry today. Mike Dereau received a special award at the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, convention. Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, caught up with him there.
Mike, first of all, you were just recently given an interesting award. Would you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it was a technical achievement award from the National Association of Broadcasters, a lifetime achievement, if you will, in its way, 35 years of broadcast. The funny thing is that our unit that we manufactured 30 years ago is used by a lot of hams, kind of sort of a cult thing. Primarily on AM, but a lot of sidebanders are using our old Model 310, we call it, the discriminant audio processor.
You're in fairly new ham, you told me only 10 years, but you've been playing around with radio all your life, and it's something that's very important to you.
Well, I was SWL as a kid, and as a sideband came in, well, of course, the Philco didn't understand all of that, so I sort of faded away from it, but always played with transmitters and RF and audio. And later on, AM became popular again, and a lot of fellows would say, Mike, you've got these transmitters, why don't you become a ham? It won't be hard for you. Well, the code was tough, but the technicals were quite easy. And so I finally did. Listening to these guys and how great they sounded, they were restoring some of the old TMCs and Heath kits that made them sound like broadcast. It was marvelous.
So you operate AM then, I assume. So tell us a little bit about the station that you run at your place.
Well, I have sideband equipment, Kenwood TS-440. Nice little rig, and I can't even think, Amatron or something, I think, is the linear. Isn't that terrible of me? But I've been so involved with the AM that it's a Collins transmitter. There's actually several of them that I have. I operate two of them, one on 160 and the other on 75. They're capable of a full kilowatt, though we don't run them up there. Which, by the way, Bill, if I may say, there is a problem with the PEP. They've got everything kind of backwards with that. If you take a sideband signal, say 1500 watts, look at the amplitude of that signal on a spectrum analyzer, in order to equal that, it takes about almost 5000 PEP AM. So it proves AM is not efficient. But somehow they saw that backwards, and we wind up with 375 watts. I wonder if we can get that turned around someday.
I think you'll have to talk to Riley or somebody at the FCC about that. You have a love, then, of good sound. Does that just come from your own personal background, or what?
Well, that, and it's maybe it is sort of automatic for me. What I've found in ham radio is I love the quality of the QSOs. Good, there's some wonderful hams out there. I really enjoy ham radio, and I know when I'm away from it, I think about it. I'm really not really totally hung up what mode particularly, but for me, AM is the most fun, I guess, because of just the sound of the relays and the size of everything, and maybe just the current that's being drawn.
And the smell of the ozone.
I guess that's it. I think it's it.
Mike, you're best known in the broadcast industry for a little invention you have called the Dereau audio meter. Tell us a little bit about the company, where it started, and how this one product seems to have been the one that has skyrocketed the company.
Well, the idea that you know all radio and television stations achieve 100% modulation, but why are some louder than the others? And this is the power under the peak, and that's what this meter displays. And I realized that early on, and with the advent of LEDs, was able to develop this. And it is sort of intuitive. People automatically kind of understand what it is doing, and so it's been basically very little advertising. It's been word of mouth, just engineer to engineer. I guess we're the largest mom-and-pop outfit in the country with this doggone meter, but we're very proud of it.
You've been in business how many years total?
29.
And you started with audio processing, right?
You're right. Uh-huh. Physically, we'd build them on our kitchen table with our oldest girls who were young then, but would help. They did great soldering jobs. And I'd load the car up and just drive out to the stations, and would you please try my processor, Mr. Please? And it kind of took off from there. We sold over 9,000 of them. I hadn't been in 9,000 stations, though, only maybe 3,500 stations, Canada, Mexico.
So you actually drove around Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., literally peddling stuff, I guess.
Yeah, just a peddler of processing.
A door-to-door broadcast peddler. That was your mainstay product then, originally, was the audio processor?
Yeah, and because I'd started out with this idea in the very early 60s, and coming from, if you will, the poor side of the tracks, we never did get a patent on it, so it became public domain quite soon. But nothing happened. A few experiments, as guys heard about this technique. But in the 70s, when we became quite successful with it, suddenly there was a lot of competition. And some of these guys have done some fine work with the idea.
Well, explain for our audience what the difference between your product and what preceded it was.
It breaks the spectrum down into three bands. You can break it down in many bands, but I found to keep it colorless so you don't feel the processing effect. Just three bands. So it could take care of the limiting that you need to protect the transmitter and keep the average power up, but you don't feel it working. That was the basic concept. Before that, we just had what we call wideband. A limiter is just an AC voltage regulator. So certain musical notes, especially the low frequencies, would cause others to pump back. And that's what hearing that effect from the old way that we did those things is what led me into the discriminant audio processor.
And then from there, you went into the metering business, or what?
Yeah, and then the metering was something that developed from the processing, because our processor didn't modulate any higher than anybody else's, but yet it was really loud. So compared to the old wideband, because all these products weren't pumped back. And so I needed to build some way to display what this was doing. You could see it in a scope. You could see the density build up, but a lot of stations didn't even have a scope.
A lot of radio stations I worked at couldn't afford a scope.
Yeah, that's right, and it wasn't type approved, which is kind of crazy, but the scopes weren't type approved. You had to use a modulation monitor, which was just a mechanical indicator again.
And the ballistics of those old meters didn't have what it took to look at peak modulation.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Best of Rain, featuring Mike DeRoe, KO6NM, considered by many as the father of audio processing. He received the 2000 Technical Achievement Award from the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, will resume his interview with Mike in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available via terrestrial dial-up at 773-358-7845. Thanks to Uddle Systems, UDDLE.com. The last 7 weeks of Rain Reports are likewise available there. That number once again is 773-358-7845. We'll be right back.
Mike, you've also been involved in doing some work for the handicapped, which I'm aware of, and I know HAPS listeners, some of them will be aware of, but a lot of others won't. Tell us why and how.
Yeah, I'd love to, Bill. I guess I was born with a handicap. I had a rheumatic heart, and it put me into a little school growing up early in San Francisco, Sunshine School, and I was exposed to blind and crippled people. And I've felt very much at home with them all my life, and so I've just always anything I could do because I was capable of doing it, I would do for them. As I started visiting these radio stations, I keep finding transcriptions and equipment that I could clean up and fix up for these folks. A lot of them, especially the visually impaired and blind, love, you know, it's all ear. What we want to do in Wisconsin and what we have done, we've set up a transmitting facilities and an archive for them to actually operate the station. I'll just maintain the transmitters and take care of the electric bill. It's for them to operate by ISDN or however they can get the program there. They can send cassettes or tape or, and we'll roll it on there. So we still need to file for the station. This is what we're shooting for. We ran into some problems with the land developers and such that we have to straighten out politically there, but we could still operate anyhow. Everything's in place and ready to roll, so that's what we've been trying to get finished for the past 4 years.
Why Wisconsin?
You know, I think my wife grew up in northern Illinois, and I think it's just that it felt like it was kind of in the middle, and I'd get good propagation. And I've proved it with certainly using the antenna system on the ham bands. Do very well with very little power, but we are running a number two wire up there at 70 feet, and it does a wonderful job.
Yeah, where in Wisconsin is this, by the way?
It's near Madison, just south of Madison in a place called Oregon. Township. From that point, it's open farmland, and if we could set up satellite dish and just keep growing. There's a lot of facilities there, cassettes and turntables, ways that they can dub all these transcriptions and programs, and even some video equipment there, too.
So what is your dream, is to basically put together a shortwave station for the handicapped?
And the visually impaired, to do what they want. They can read poems, play old programs, music. This is what I want to do. Not high power. I couldn't afford to run a 50 kilowatt, so I can't be on the international bands, but hopefully there would be a frequency. And what I dreamt would be great is if any blind man can find WWV, and if he could just be to the right or the left of that, that would help them very much find what we'd call the beacon, their station. And sighted people will enjoy the programming. It's the same stuff. It's just that the program direction would come from all these different people across the nation instead of one program director. So that makes it, a potpourri, but that's what it needs to be.
Mike, you also have a museum, broadcast museum, that you've started.
Well, again, growing up on the poor side of the tracks and having to make my own airplanes out of whatever 2x4s at some construction site, the beauty and the workmanship that we'll never see again in some of this old equipment, it's so labor-intensive, so beautifully done, and I've just learned to quickly restore this stuff. It's so easy to wash it with soap and water, actually. Even meters, and no matter how delicate, everything can be cleaned and restored and operate beautifully. And that's been great, just a great relaxation for me. So the worse it is, the more I enjoy it, I think, restoring it. But there's all the equipment, and that's all in Wisconsin, all with the transcriptions. So everything's there, the archives, the museum. It's an 8,000 square foot building, and then another building that's 9,200 square feet. So it's got a lot in it.
It's quite a nice donation you're making to the world.
So, you know, we're going to shoot through and go to Planet 2, hopefully. So it needs to be here for somebody else to take over, and that was the basic plan.
People can see at least part of what you do on the web, I believe, including part of the museum, can't they?
Some of it, and we'll add more of the museum to it, Bill, on the web. Now with the award from NAB, which has just been so wonderful, it's helped us, our business. I can lay back a little bit more and spend more time with this, the archives and such, and I'm very excited about it. That's what I've been wanting to do, so we won't have to work as hard.
I get the feeling for you, work is fun, though.
This kind, yes, yeah. Some of it, you know, the telephones and things are demanding, and trips and errands and things. And I'm just excited that I can spend more time at the love and passion of the archives and ham radio. We'll spend a little more time on ham radio, too.
That was audio processing pioneer Mike DeRoe, KO6NM, speaking with Amateur Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, back in 2000 following Mike's being named the Technical Achievement Award winner at that year's National Association of Broadcasters Convention. As a postscript to the 2000 story, Mike's dream of establishing a radio station for the blind in Wisconsin was blindsided by some nasty Wisconsin politics. Unfortunately, he never got the station or its antennas off the ground. You can read more about Mike's David and Goliath story at wisclean.org. That's WISCLEAN.ORG. The Rain Report is heard in Western Pennsylvania Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on the W3CSL Monacin 2-meter repeater on 147.225 megahertz. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2009 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.